You are listening to a message by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word. For more information about our ministry, please visit enduringword.com.
Lord God, we know that right now, surrounding your throne, there is an innumerable company of angels worshiping you. The cherubim and the seraphim, Lord, they seem to do nothing else but worship you endlessly. Lord, we're so grateful for the opportunity to add our worship to theirs, to bring a sacrifice that's a sweet-smelling savor before your throne. Lord God, we pray that you'd receive the sacrifice of praise we've offered here, the fruit of our lips before you, that you be well honored in this place, in this community, in our churches, Lord, in our lives. Glorify yourself in our midst, God. We thank you and praise you this evening in Jesus' name. And all those who agree said amen.
Amen.
I'd like to speak to you for a few moments this evening from the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. I am so captivated by this thought from the book of Hebrews. It's really stunning, or at least it's stunning to me, in a way I hadn't really grabbed a hold of before. It's the idea that Jesus prays for us, and that he prays for us all the time. All the time Jesus is praying for us. Let me read it to you. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. We all know very well, or at least we should know, about the tremendous work that Jesus did on the cross when he accomplished our salvation. When he stood as if he were a guilty sinner in our place, and he received in himself the punishment and the shame and the guilt that we deserved. But if you think that Jesus stopped doing something for you some 2,000 years ago, you're very mistaken. You know, the Bible tells us clearly two things that Jesus is doing right now in heaven. He's gone to prepare a place for you, number one. He's preparing heaven for you, a place, a special place in heaven for you. But the other great thing about this is he's preparing you for that place. And he's doing that as much as anything through his prayer. It says there in verse 25, I'm not making this up. He ever lives to make intercession for them. That's why Jesus lives. Enthroned at the right hand of God the Father, surrounded by all the glory, all the majesty that heaven affords, and we'll see it one day. In the midst of all of that, he's thinking of you. He's praying for you. Wouldn't you be excited if some great Christian celebrity, like a Billy Graham or something, sent you a personal note in the mail and you opened up and you read it, and Billy Graham said, I'm praying for you, and I'm going to pray for you every day this month. Why, you'd be so puffed up, you'd be impossible to live with. You would think it's so spectacular that Billy Graham is praying for you. How much better that Jesus is praying for you. Jesus prayed for you today. You know, when you were on the road and you thought those terrible thoughts towards that other person who was in your way, Jesus prayed for you. I think especially when we're under satanic attack, Jesus prays for us. Do you remember what he told Peter? He said to Peter that Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And Jesus said, but I've prayed for you. What a relief. Satan comes against us, but our Savior's there. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Now, I think that there's a couple points of application that we need to make very readily from this. First of all, we can really grab a hold of the idea of how important prayer is to God. You know, you've seen it a million times by now, those famous four letters, what would Jesus do? Well, how about a new acronym? You could make it up to say, what is Jesus doing? And Jesus is praying right now. When we pray, when we intercede for the needs of others, we're very close to the heart of Jesus. We're doing what he's doing right now. The other great aspect about this is verse 25 says, it begins, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. He's able to save us to the uttermost because he's praying for us. Most people read that and they automatically register in their mind that Jesus is able to save us from the uttermost. Because that's where many of us were before Jesus changed our lives. We were out in the uttermost. Of course, Billy Sunday was a famous evangelist, and he used to have a classic sermon where he preached on this text, and he said that Jesus saved him from the guttermost because he was a gutter drunk when the Lord rescued him. But I want you to notice, it doesn't say that he's able to save us from the uttermost, though that's true. The text right in front of us, Hebrews 7:25, tells us that he's able to save us to the uttermost. You can make it to the end because Jesus is praying for you. And he cares for you, and he's watching out over you. I try to think about that lately when I pray now. And I've been doing something that I hope you don't think is foolish or anybody here, but sometimes I specially ask Jesus to pray for me. Jesus, it's going to be a hard day today. Can you please remember to pray? And it sounds almost foolish when you say it. Like you have to remind Jesus to do something, but I think he knows what I mean. Let's pray together right now. Father, when we come together as Christians from across this community, from different churches, under the leadership and in the presence of different pastors, Lord, we're reminded that our great Savior, Jesus, is praying for us right now. Lord, we're reminded that he cares for us, that he's interceding for us, that right now he's a part of this prayer meeting. When we lift up our thoughts, when we lift up the focus of our heart towards you, we're doing it in concert not only with one another, but with our own Savior who intercedes for us from heaven. Lord, forgive us for the times when we thought we were going at it alone. How foolish. To know that there is a Savior praying for us, how that frees us. What confidence it gives us, Lord, not in ourselves. But what prayer would the Father refuse from the Son? What prayer could possibly go unanswered from the lips of Jesus? So we have great confidence in you, Lord. Father, we pray that you would pour out a blessing upon this community. We don't ask this, Lord, sensing or speaking as if you haven't blessed us thus far. Lord, you have. But Lord, we're bold enough to ask for more. We're bold enough to ask you for a great work in our community, for an outpouring of your Spirit, for an outpouring of revival. Lord, we confess our sin before you, that we've been weak, we've been cold. In too many ways, we've been distant from you. Lord, now we plead together with one heart and with one voice. And we say, Lord, answer the prayers of your dear Son on our behalf and revive us again in the midst of the years. Pour out your goodness upon us and let us see and sense all the good things that you want to do. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You've been listening to a message by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word. For more information about our ministry and how to grow in your relationship with Jesus, please visit enduringword.com.